Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another episode of the Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. Today, I'm outnumbered. It's one-on-two. My guests today are, and I'll probably murder their names, Sepand Samzadeh and Oscar Fuentes.
That was good.
They are the backbone of LA-based prog rock band Days Between Stations. Now, I have to admit, I am a fan of prog rock. I have been since the early 70s. There are people that shout, prog is dead, but I say, prog is dead, long live prog, is my kind of motto. Sepand and Oscar, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you've just released a great CD, and I mean that sincerely. In Extremis, it is wonderful stuff. But before we get to that, we've all spoken before, but for the sake of our listeners, Sepand, tell us a little bit about yourself. I chuckle every time I think about your story.
Sure. I'm not from the prog rock world, and when we did the debut album, I was like, oh wow, this is gonna be great. No one's done this before, and of course the reviews came out, and we got compared to Genesis and Pink Floyd and King Crimson, and so I went back and I really listened to these bands, and I was really awed by what they did. But not only did they do what they did, but they did it 40 years before us. So it kind of put me in my place. And ever since, I've become a big prog rock fan. I was born in Iran in 1975, and then we moved to Spain in 1981. So I was exposed to a lot of the synth pop music that was coming out, and at the same time, some of the classic rock bands. One of the first bands when I was a little kid was Queen, and they had come to our little town of Marbella, Spain, and you could just, you know, I was a little kid, so I kind of snuck out of my bedroom to hear them, and that's my first exposure to classic rock. And having the Persian background, my dad listened to a lot of the classical Iranian music. It's called sonati. And so that kind of percolated in my brain, and a lot of my musical influences and footprints stem from there.
All right. At some point, didn't you also play some flamenco?
I did. Not very good at it. And it's very complicated, but I'm practicing it more and more now because we're doing a lot more acoustic stuff. I'm sure you're going to hear a little bit more about that later on in the future albums.
Oh Lord, I can't wait. You know, flamenco prog rock.
Exactly.
This could be a whole new genre of music.
I can just see the flamenco dancers passing out after 23 minutes of dancing to our flamenco music.
And Oscar, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your story?
Sure. Well, I do come from the prog side of things, I suppose. I always been into that since I was a little kid. In fact, one of the surreal moments for me with this album is being on an album that has, you know, some guests from Yes, and I remember, I clearly remember being, say, 9, 10 years old and just listening to drama or going for the one and just, you know, I've been idolizing this stuff for quite some time since I was a kid in Mexico City. I was born in Mexico City to, my dad was Mexican, my mom was American, and then I moved up here when I was still a teenager. And but that's definitely the sort of influence that I'm coming from, a lot of progressive rock, a lot of jazz and blues too as well that I got into a little bit later, and classical, of course. But yeah, so it's just it's been, like I said, really surreal to have my name on this album, and you know, also see Rick Wakeman's name on it or Peter Banks' name on it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, I keep thinking it's happening to someone else.
Yeah. In fact, that's a perfect opportunity for us to segue into a track. How would you or would you guys be annoyed with me if I was to play the man who died two times?
Go for it. Not at all.
By no means.
Okay, here it is. This is from In Extremis, The Man Who Died Two Times.
Life turns around. Respect it.
Okay, it's a great song, and I'm a nosy kind of a guy, so I have to point this at Oscar. I like to think I know my synthesizers. Is that a Korg or a Yamaha that you're playing?
That's actually the Moog Little Fatty.
Oh,
and you're right, the Yamaha CS.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. See, look, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, the main part is played by a CS80, and then I did the solo on the little fatty, the Moog.
Right.
Yeah. No. Oh, God, you're good.
No, I'm not good. I'm just nosy.
Right. Yeah, you're right. CS80. I had forgotten actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll teach you to come and have an interview with me. And Sepan, your favorite weapon is the guitar.
Yes.
How do you guys go about creating a song? Is there one of you that, yeah, is the driving force?
That's a very, very good question. I don't think either we come up with things together or we have ideas prepared. Oscar, I would say, is more musically inclined and educated than I am. I'm more of a go with the feel, and in fact, some of the stuff Oscar comes up with, I don't even bother asking him what key or anything he's in, because I just want to feel, you know, around my way around the song and try to actually find the melodies, you know, then with the really technical stuff and the different time signatures, then I look at it theoretically. But as far as the sound goes, I'm a lot more mood-based than I am, you know, trying to shred and impress people. So choosing the right guitar or the right amp cabinet or the right effects is really based on the mood I'm trying to convey, because we use a lot of the musical landscapes. So we tend to express, especially with the debut album, which is all instrumental, we express our emotions through the sounds and textures and tones.
Okay, I think I already know the answer to this question. Your debut album was quite well received, as I recall.
Yes.
And you've been working away for, oh, Lord knows how many years.
23 years.
Right.
Nixon was in office when we released the first one.
Right. Yeah, right. I think you can hear bits of it on the Nixon tapes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was actually briefly a member of the Space Between Stations.
Right.
He was a little... We couldn't trust him, though.
Yeah, right. Would you buy a car from this man? I remember that you know, great poster. Now, before we get into the guests on the album... Who else makes up the regular band? I'll just call it that.
Well, really, it's Sepan and I. You know, that's the core of it. And since we haven't really taken the show on the road, as so to speak, you know, I mean, that might change in the future. But the core of it is Sepan and I, and you know, not to diminish at all the amazing contributions that different musicians did to both albums, but yeah, so that's, I think, the core of it is us two.
Okay, let's do a shameless commercial here. Where can people buy copies of this CD?
You can get it at daysbetweenstations.com. And the trick is that you have to sign up for the fan club. But it becomes, you just basically send your email. And I think we have a habit of sending newsletters once every decade. So you won't be bombarded by emails from us. But you can go there, just sign up for the fan club. You'll get your CD. Oscar and I sign it. You're also welcome to purchase a CD that is signed by everyone except for Tony Levin and Rick Wakeman. That's limited to 35 CDs. And then it goes out to the general public, on sale to the general public May 15th.
So, and presumably it will be available on, you know, Amazon and all of those other places.
Yes, Amazon, iTunes, everywhere, yes. And CD Baby.
Oh,
CD Toddler as well.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said it's going to be available on CD Toddler as well.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, little bad joke.
Right. Oh, there's another track on the album that I would like to play. I really liked The Man Who Died Two Times, but that track is kind of rocky and, you know, doesn't really demonstrate the prog rock side. Would you mind if I played what I know is a slightly edited version of the Eggshell Man?
Well, by all means, go for it.
Okay. And I'll explain to listeners why it's slightly edited later. Mics are hot.
Light goes.
Sorry about that, guys. I should have warned you before we went on air. I'm a lazy host, so I never mute microphones.
It's too bad we didn't sing to the song live.
Right. So, I obviously have to ask you, you know, what was it like to work with, you know, the Peter Wakeman and sorry, not Peter Wakeman, Peter Banks and Rick Wakeman, and I also believe you have someone from King Crimson and XTC on the album.
Indeed. The most, you know, one-on-one sort of, or two-on-one, actually, collaborative environment was with Billy Sherwood, who, of course, was a member of Yes in the 90s on the Open Your Eyes and Ladder albums. And we were with him quite a bit at his studio in Sherman Oaks. And he's just a really incredibly creative guy. I mean, you can just sort of see the music coming off the top of his head, you know. And he's the singer, of course, in Eggshell Man that we just listened to with a little annoying interruption from us. But I believe we first got in touch with Peter Banks through our mutual PR guy. And he was just very, very down to earth and incredibly funny. I mean, I've been a fan of his, like I said, since I was a little kid, listening to Time and the Word. And, you know, incredibly talented, creative guitar player. He was very down to earth and just really contributed amazing stuff. We just couldn't believe our luck. And yes, of course, Tony Levin from King Crimson and Peter Gabriel's band played bass on all the tracks. And again, blew us away. I remember driving around in my car with a really bass-heavy mix for days on end with a huge grin on my face. Colin Moulding from XTC. Again, Billy contacted. Billy knows everybody in the universe. I think he's got a... He's got God on speed dial, you know. And through Billy, it was basically, you know, Billy Sherwood's calling. They pick up the phone, you know. And, of course, both Colin Moulding and Rick Wakeman have contributed to Billy's prog collective. And we had The Man Who Died Two Times, and it was Billy Sherwood who actually thought this would be perfect for Colin. And as an XTC fan, you know, I was, again, really excited about that as well, as you can imagine. It was a perfect fit. With Wakeman, I was just, I think the way the conversation went was, would you mind if Rick Wakeman, and let me just cut you off right there, you know, of course I don't mind. Yeah, I'll give him all my parts.
I happen to be a huge fan of Wakeman.
Oh yeah.
It took me about 6 months to actually snag an interview with him. You know, because you got to go through quote his people.
Right.
But you know, he's a really nice guy. You know?
Yeah.
And basically the conversation ended with, call me anytime.
Yeah. But you know, I remember, because when you know, we didn't set out to do the CD and say, hey, we're going to get guest musicians to, you know, for marketing purposes, you know. And I remember this exactly. Oscar said, hey, you know, I hear Tony Levin's stick here, and we laughed, you know. And I was like, why don't I just email him? And you know, they're all so down to earth. And even the first time Rick emailed me, it took me half an hour just to reply back and say hello. I didn't know what to say to him, you know. And once you get to, you know him a little bit better, they're just so humble, so down to earth. And when they send you back their tracks, you know, we've been working on these songs for 5 years, and all of a sudden they send a solo, maybe the same evening they got the music, and you're just blown away, and it's like, wow, you know, this is how the big guns do it, you know.
Right.
Very humbling.
I've heard this from several musicians that have put together CDs. They're wonderful CDs, but at no point were all of the musicians in the studio.
Right.
You just layer the tracks that people contribute. Is that the way it went?
It went that way. Billy, we had most of the music ready, so there was spots where solos needed to be done. In the case of Levin, you know, the songs, he pretty much did his own parts. There was maybe 15 seconds there, a minute there that we wanted to keep, but the whole thing was just just amazing. It worked organically. Everyone understood us. Not only did they understand us, but they took the music up quite a few notches. You know, it's in the case of, you know, we couldn't fly to England or to do the recordings or fly them there. It just, technology was on our side, and with them understanding the music, and it worked out perfectly.
But the core of it really was initially Sapan and I in a room together, and then Sapan and Billy and I in a room together, sometimes with my bass on there instead of Levin's much, much, much better bass on there. But, it just kind of came together that way, yeah.
Sapan, you must have some comments to make.
That, you know, pretty much sums everything. The only thing I really want to add is, when you have musicians of this caliber, it becomes very intimidating in a sort of way that, number one, they, in a way, nod you because they're playing, they're willing to share their names with you on an album. But you better get it all together, and you better deliver the best you can. And that is a very intimidating feeling. And I just remember practicing hours and hours and months on end, just making sure that I nail everything, you know. Last thing you want to do is embarrass Mr. Wakeman and Mr. Molding and Levin. And
right.
But I also want to add that, Peter's final recordings were with us as well, and it was just amazing working with him. And I remember Oscar described earlier that when we were talking to him in the beginning, he was we were very nervous, and he was so humble that it was just very easy to talk to him. And you know, some people say, oh, I love your music, and yeah, let's work something out. And with Peter, it was really genuine, because he would send back 30 guitar tracks at a time, full of ideas, and it was just incredible. And after he passed away, it's sometimes difficult to listen to the music, but man, he went out with a bang.
Well, you know, I viewed Peter Banks' death as a huge loss to the music community. Yeah, he has done so much wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You can predict what, and I don't mean any disrespect to any musicians, but everyone has their style, including myself. You can predict, you know, what David Gilmour might do, what Jimmy Page might do, what Slash might do. But with Peter, I remember sitting with Oscar after receiving his tracks, and just, I had no idea what he was going to do. He just comes out of left field sometimes with ideas that you would never think of, you know. And Oscar and I, for example, the track, the 21-minute track in Extremis, where Peter is on as well, the music became so fresh to us. We're like, wow, you can do this with that, and it got us pumping again and energized, and it just really animates the song again for us, you know, since we've been at it for so long, composing it.
I guess what impresses me most, and I like it, you know, you guys really didn't have, you know, much, you know, top 10 Billboard hits or anything.
Right.
But, you know, you went out there and you worked it, and you snagged the absolute best musicians in the world. I am so impressed.
Well, we're pretty impressed as well, but surprised more than impressed, but and pleased, of course. It's really a dream come true. You know, literally a young progressive rock boy fan's dream come true. You know, in my case.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're really.
I'm not sure you're that young.
No, once. Once upon a time, long time ago.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock. We're flat out of time. I'm getting moaned at by my automated producer. Do you have some parting words of wisdom for us? Okay. I'll start with Sepp and.
Sure. Well, we're just a couple of two guys sitting in an 8-foot by 10-foot room and just playing music and not really caring about what's...
we're not in prison, though.
Yeah, we're not what the billboards say. We're just doing something out of love and passion. And really, it's really a dream to have these legends on the album. And it's really possible for anyone to do it. Just be true to yourself and take risks and find out what you're about. And you might be lucky like us and have, you know, just some people saying that, you know, you did okay, kid.
Right. Actually, that was a really good comment. I honestly believe that if you have a passion and, you know, you're polite, you know what you're talking about, you can get anyone to talk to you. And that very much seems to sum up what has happened with you guys. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think you're right, because, you know, I think I would really feel like a fish out of water and out of my element talking to maybe, you know, obviously Stephen Hawking or somebody like that. But with Sherwood and Wakeman and stuff, it's like, you almost feel like you already know them, you know. I mean, I like to say that they were, in a sense, my teachers, you know, all those years listening to their records. And so I was prepared.
Yeah. Okay, last question. What's next? You guys have been threatening to go on the road for, what, 8-9 years? but, you know, realistically, what are you going to do?
I think we'd like to take the show on the road in a limited way in the next few months, hopefully, a few months to a year. Sapanda just had a boy, a son. So let us take some time you know, he needs to take some time to be with his boy, newborn. But I really do think we're gonna make it happen, get some shows together. And I think we're looking at becoming a little more prolific. Try to speed up the work pace a little bit, so that the next album's out before 2020.
Oh,
doing it.
Hey, no sense in rushing things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sapan and Oscar, I really want to thank you for taking time out today to talk to me. I know that you're probably really, really busy on that 2020 album.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. It's great talking to you again.
Well, it's really, thank you for your time and always asking in-depth questions and making us think. And it's great to hear your voice again.
Super. Okay, till next time, I have to close this down, because my producer is now really whining in my ear. Good luck, and please do keep in touch.
Oh, thanks so much.
A promise.
For sure.
All righty. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.